This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for this week, what we get for number five?
We got Super Bowl 53 coming in a week from Sunday, actually, and it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams against those New England Patriots, which is so ridiculous. This is Brady's ninth Super Bowl, which is more than any other non-Patriots team in the league. The Patriots have been to 11. Brady's been to 9. I mean, he's probably going to win another one. You can't bet against him. He's 41 years old. Jared Goff, the quarterback for the Rams, guy's 24 years old. It's completely absurd. The age differentials here between the top guys on either team are nuts. So we got Brady at 41, Jared Goff at 24. And then we've got Sean McVay, who is the Los Angeles Rams head coach. He's 33, and Bill Belichick doubles him up at 66. So it's kind of like the young guns versus the old vets. We'll see how it goes. It's on February 3rd, kickoff, 6:30 p.m. Eastern.
I think the Patriots are going to win. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't bet against them. I like the Rams. I like what they do. I don't think that the Patriots have been super impressive this entire season, except for in the postseason where they've just been dominating people. But I know you just can't root against them. They're just so good, and they've been so good for so long. It's crazy. And you kind of thought this might be the year that they fall off, but no, definitely not.
And, you know, it's all that experience you're talking about, all those years that they had coming to the Super Bowl over and over again. This is like, you know, same shirt. These guys are going to be able to just come in here, do their thing. And the Rams, they got these young bloods who I think they may be scared. I think they're going to be overwhelmed just by the stadium and all the hoopla, and that may cause some issues.
Totally, totally agree. I mean, yeah, this is Brady's night, man. I mean, this is like just, you know, going to the coffee shop on a Sunday for him. Like, he's just so used to being in this position, and that has a lot to do with success. So I know Jared Goff, I mean, guy's 24, he's going to come out there and be like, dude, I'm not, like, this is so intense. So I can't think that any other way of, there's going to be any other outcome besides the Patriots taking home another one.
What we get for number four?
Yeah, number four, we've got another sports one. It is Mariano Rivera, and he was just inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. But this one is super interesting because he is the first unanimously voted player in history into the Hall of Fame. All 425 voters included him on their ballot. And it makes sense because he's the man. He's the Yankees closer. And this is an unbelievable statistic that has been uncovered. But more people have walked on the moon than have scored an earned run off him in the postseason. More people have walked on the moon, which is pretty absurd. So I guess according to NASA, 12 people have been on the moon, and only 11 people have scored an earned run off Mariano Rivera in postseason. So if that's not an unbelievable statistic, I don't know what it is.
Wow. What years did he play in?
I'm not the biggest baseball guy. Like, I definitely recognize this guy's name, but I don't know. I think it's been a while. If you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, obviously I should know that, but yeah, I don't know.
You know, I'm more of a basketball person myself. I'm really into basketball. Golden State Warrior girl right here. But,
Oh, God. Oh, that's a conversation for offline. But, oh, God.
We can have it right here. We could do this right here, Justin. I'm
well,
not afraid.
Warriors suck, and I hate them, but whatever.
Fighting
they
words.
They ruin the integrity of the NBA. Whatever. Mariano Rivera is great, and I'm so proud of him. And he is just such a good player, dude. He's great.
Oh, real fast. So you said it was unanimous. 425 people sat there and said, this guy needs to be inducted. Who are these? Like, is it anonymous? Or does everybody know who these people are who votes for?
No, these are like, ooh, that's a good question. Okay, I don't know 100%, but I'm pretty sure it's like people that are in the Hall of Fame. They've got like some sort of a committee. You know, I don't know. I just don't really know baseball that much, which is kind of a shame because it's ingrained in American society and it's America's you know, pastime. But I don't know. I just don't know a lot about it. I don't know who these dudes are, but yeah, 425 of them, and they all, and it's the first time it's ever been unanimous, which is also pretty wild because, you know, it seems like there'd been some pretty solid folks in the Hall of Fame in the past. So I don't know. You're stumping me this week.
I'm so sorry, but I think it's anonymous because that's how it works with like the Academy Awards. They'll send out little ballots.
Well,
right?
anonymous in the sense that like they're all not sitting in a room raising their hand.
Right.
But we probably know who the people are.
No, I think you're right.
Or you think it's completely anonymous?
No, you're right about that because you'll have, you know, famous film critics, you know, who are going to get these ballots for the Academy Awards and they'll put their, you know, who they think should be in there. So they send out those forms to these film critics. And I imagine they do the same thing with baseball. It's probably former, you know, coaches, former trainers, former players, it's all that stuff. So
there's also some media members in the mix as well, folks that have covered the sport for a really long time. But yeah, anonymous, unanimous. Say that five times fast.
I'm not going to because I'm going to sound silly. What do we get for number three?
We got Baby Shark, which I don't know if you've watched this video on YouTube. It's got over 2.1 billion views. It's like one of the most watched YouTube videos ever. But it's trending because they're going to make a cartoon TV series on it on Netflix. And it's like little songs, like a kid song, Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. It's ridiculous. But it's coming to Netflix, which is wild. It was also on Billboard's Hot 100 list at 32 3 weeks ago it was. It's dropped out of the top 40. But, like, the video was first uploaded, like, 2 years ago. And it's still just continuing to trend all the time. And people are still watching this. And I guess the thing that kind of bums me out is when I heard the song, I was like, wow, this is really catchy, you know, good for them. Like, it's a stupid song, but it's catchy, and they did a good job making something that people are going to, like, just adhere to. But it's a children's song that's been back in the day, that was made way long ago. They didn't even come up with the song. They just updated it and put it on YouTube. So they didn't even really create the song, which is kind of a bummer.
Wait, I thought it was, like, original content. They just rewashed it?
Well, according to the information in front of me, it says that it was actually a popular children's song that people used to sing at summer camp. But then they adapted it and, like, made it visual and had, like, the sharks and then put it on YouTube. So, I know, kind of bum.
You know, the funny part is that I've heard so much about Baby Shark, and I've never actually seen the video.
Really? You gotta watch. Well, watch it, like, at the end of the day, because it's going to be stuck in your head all day.
Really?
So, like, it's such a simple song that you just can't help but sing it over and over, which is kind of bummer. Oh, apparently they're going to make a new video. This time, it's going to be about penguins. Which is pretty sick because penguins are really silly and fun, so that'll be good.
Have you ever heard about the song that never ends?
Yeah, definitely.
The one for Lamb Chops, that's the only one I remember. It's a kid's show, Lamb Chops, and it was the song that never ends.
And yeah, was Lamb Chop a puppet?
Yeah, it was the old lady, and she had like the little Lamb Chop puppet, and she had all the other little puppets. I just remember the lamb, though. And that song in particular, I remember singing it all day long. Every day.
Right.
And, you know, now it's stuck in my head right now.
Yeah, just to annoy your parents and stuff like that. Same with, like, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, you know, these. Yeah, let's just update them, put them on YouTube and, you know,
make a fortune.
Make lots of monies. Yeah.
What we get for number two?
Man, we got a lot of, okay, so we got, like, three simultaneous food trends that were coming in at this spot. So we got funnel cake fries, Oreos, and plant-based diet. So they're all trending for various different reasons. Okay, so the funnel cake fries, they're coming back. Burger King just announced, and I've never had them, but people are pretty stoked on them for sure. They first came out in 2009, and they're just fries with funnel cake. and they're coming back for a limited time starting, I think, yesterday. They came back yesterday. So if you're one of those folks out there that love funnel cake, head over to Burger King, get some funnel cake fries. I think it's a good idea. I'm stoked on it. Now, this one is the one I'm most stoked on, is the Oreos Most Stuff cookies, which is like a normal Oreo with like 10 times the amount of stuffing in there. It's pretty ridiculous. It looks like just like an ice cream sandwich almost. It's not ice cream, but has a filling. It's pretty wild. But apparently, I don't know, I was just looking it up before the show, and I see a lot of people like reselling their stuff for like a lot of money on like eBay. So they might be like selling out of the stores really quickly. But each cookie is 110 calories, so watch out. Okay, then last, and then we'll assess. Alec Baldwin came out with an op-ed on CNN advocating for a plant-based diet. He titled the op-ed, "The Path to a Better Planet Goes Across Your Plate," and he's essentially just talking about the harmful environmental effects of consuming animal products, which I'm totally bought in on. I was vegan for a while. I'm not anymore, unfortunately, but I totally get where Alec's coming from, and I very support him fighting the good fight. All right.
You were vegan?
Assess.
You were vegan?
I was for a year.
That's hard.
And it was good. It was a good year. It's just, it was really hard, and I'm going to get back into it, for sure. Alec has inspired me.
Have you ever heard of a place called Fogo de Chao?
Yeah. I actually, in my non-vegan days, definitely ate there in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's good. I didn't become a vegan because I didn't like the taste of meat.
Okay.
Meat is delicious, but it's also really bad for you, and it's bad for the environment, and it's sad for the animals.
But we make them so we can eat them, you know?
Sure. But I don't think that reduces the amount of suffering they feel at all.
Well, as long as it's humane. I mean, there are ways to do it humanely.
I think humane killing is an oxymoron. Like, you're still ending something's life.
Well, we have to eat.
Like a conscious being. We don't need meat to survive.
Okay.
That's for sure.
What about those studies that have came out saying that plants can feel pain? There you go.
I think that's a load of crap.
Oh, you think that's a load of crap? So the plants, just to fit your ideology, they can't feel pain?
Plants don't have a central nervous system.
No, but they emit odors because they've been cut. Like, you know, when you cut your lawn, they're doing
sure.
that so that other plants know that, hey, I'm being attacked. Watch out. These people are here.
Potentially. Yeah. Okay. If plants actually, first off, they don't actually have the mechanism to absorb and feel pain based on the scientific information that's currently available. However, if they do, it's obviously they're not a conscious being. So if they do feel some sort of suffering, it's on a way lesser account than if a mammal would feel that, or an animal in general.
So it's about, you know, a scale. So we can have less empathy for a plant versus an animal.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just messing with you.
But the good thing is, if you do subscribe to Alec Baldwin's ideological ideas here, Oreos are vegan, so you're good
really?
To go. You can have as many most stuffs as you want.
Wait, what is an Oreos?
I don't know, but they're vegan.
It's vegan, 100%.
I remember the vegan community when I was a part of it was pretty stoked up on Oreos at all times because they
no
could eat
eggs?
Them.
I'm surprised.
No eggs.
Wow. Even the little white stuff? Like no egg yolk?
Yeah, the little white stuff. You'd think there'd be like some cream or something
right.
in there, but I know. Because it is like they essentially call it cream filling. I don't know. Well, I don't know exactly what the ingredients are, but they're vegan.
That's your cheat right there, right?
Right. God, I hope that the most stuff still are. I'll feel bad if they're not. If any vegans are listening, check the nutritional facts before you hop in. Don't trust me.
So, but now I have to know, why'd you stop being vegan?
Dude, well, I moved to San Francisco and everybody kept wanting to like get dinner and get drinks and like have me over and like hang out. And I just got so sick of being like, oh, I can't go there. I can't eat that. I can't do that. So I was like, okay, I'll just like kind of like take a little break for a little bit. And before I moved to San Francisco, I was in the Faroe Islands and they speak Faroese out there. And I tried as hard as I could to communicate the fact that I don't eat animal products, but I think that was lost on a lot of the dishes that I was eating. And so I kind of cheated there, and then I was like, all right, well, I'll pick it back up when I get to SF, and then, I don't know, it just kind of fell off.
Wait, so you're like vegetarian now, or just you're going back to meat?
You know, I kind of just, I kind of just dabble in whatever, but I try to be as conscious as I can about my food intake.
Well, that's smart. I was thinking of the funnel cake fries, and I'm like, man, that's probably calorie dense right there. It's smart to know exactly what you're eating, because I don't know what's in the funnel cake fries.
Anything could be in there. I've got the calories here, actually. So it's $1.99 for 9 pieces, and there's 222 calories and 10.9 grams of fat in them total, which is pretty good, actually. You know, you think 9 pieces is going to have more than 222 calories, but, you know, it's not the worst thing. 10 G's of F, you know, it's not the worst.
I don't know. I can imagine myself just gorging on it. I think of, like, those fried macaroni bites. I know they're bad for me. I shouldn't have anything fried.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's all in moderation. You know, you can't police yourself too hard. You got to enjoy life.
Oh, that's a good rule of thumb right there.
Yeah, there we go. We'll leave on that high note.
What do we get for number one?
We got this dude. His name's Ken Griffin. The guy's a hedge fund billionaire. And he just set the record for buying the most expensive home in United States history. The guy bought a penthouse, 24,000 square foot penthouse overlooking Central Park for $238 million. The guy started the hedge fund Citadel, and he's got many monies, which is pretty sick. Apparently, he bought this house. He doesn't even live in New York, but he's like, eh, you know, I want something to have when I visit town. Yeah, it sounds pretty sick. The thing is, I can't really find, like, I don't think they have any photos of the interior online, because all the articles just kind of show the outside building, and that's cool. But it's like, dude, I want to see what the inside of this thing looks like. $238 million. I mean, it's totally absurd. So, yeah, I don't know. Guy's got a lot of money. It kind of bums me out. I don't know. I mean, he seems like a pretty nice guy. Actually donates a lot of his money and is active in the philanthropic game. So good on you, Ken, but... Damn, man, that's a lot of money. That's a big penthouse.
So wait, we don't even know if it's like a smart house?
That's your threshold. It's got to be a smart house.
I'm just saying, like, it's got to have something. There aren't any pictures. Like, it just overlooks Central Park. He couldn't pay. He didn't haggle.
Right. Dude, I know. I don't know. You got to, maybe I'm just looking in the wrong places, but every article that I looked at and read through, it just had an outside photo of the building. So it's like, yeah, like, come on. And then I kind of went down the rabbit hole of, like, really expensive New York City real estate. And, man, there are some apartments, like, close to that building that you could pay $55,000 a month in rent. Can you imagine paying $55,000 a month in rent? It's like buying a new car every single month for no reason. Yeah, it's a lot of money. He also just bought a house in London.
Wait,
too.
At the same time?
And... Yeah, like, let's see. Yeah, 2 days before, he bought a house in London for $122 million, which is the most expensive home in London since 2008. Yeah, but apparently it's not the most expensive house that's ever been sold. Apparently that was in Hong Kong. So he's gotta buy a more expensive one, I guess. So there was a house in Hong Kong that sold for $361 million. So get on it, Ken, you bum.
You know, maybe this is his hobby. Maybe it's his hobby going around just buying the most expensive homes in every country. And he's like, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fun hobby to have. I mean, I don't even know what a hedge fund does. And this guy's got $9.6 billion. He, like, started doing it when he was 19 in his dorm room. It's like, man, every really cool thing started in a dorm room. I, like, need to go to grad school or something so I can do sick stuff in my dorm room. Because I didn't do anything cool when I was living in the dorms in Oregon.
I slept a lot. That's what
really?
I did.
That's
I slept.
Kind of cool.
Well, I guess it's cool. Between, like, studying and eating, I was just like, I got to get them naps in. And that's what I did.
I mean, you're still growing at that point. You need sleep. You know, I think that's good. I'm glad you got sleep.
Oh, thank you. What did we get for the most watched YouTube video?
So we got the Oscar nominations announcement video, and it's good. It kind of draws on a little bit, but it's fun to watch. Obviously, I love the Oscars. I'm trying to see as many of the best pictures that I possibly can see. The video's got over 700,000 views, but Yeah, it's good, and it's important to watch, and I love the Oscars. I think Roma is going to win Best Picture. I just saw Vice yesterday. Pretty heavy, kind of makes you think about a lot of stuff, kind of bummed me out, but it was well done, for sure. Christian Bale's transformation into Dick Cheney was phenomenal. But Roma's great. It's beautiful. I loved it, and I'm really excited. It's going to be good. But as far as I know, they still don't have a host, so I don't know. What are you doing? You might have to host it, Mason.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to sleep.
that's good.
I like watching when it's over. I just want the highlights. That's all I need, baby. Just give me the highlights. Who won? Right. I don't like being teased. Just give me who won.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes watching the award shows is a little bit cringy, but it's I know. I kind of am more excited about just who wins. But there's fun debacles, you know, like the miss opening and miss announcing who won Best Picture a couple years back with Moonlight.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's some high drama stuff. So there could be some fun stuff this year too.
Well, you know, I like watching the red carpet. That's what I like to watch. I like when they're
really?
Coming in, and I like all the dresses and what are the guys
are wearing? What are you wearing?
Yeah. I love that. I think that is so much fun. And then afterwards, everybody's sitting and they're drinking and maybe eating a little something. And I'm thinking to myself, why can't I drink and eat with them?
Yeah, I know. It's glamorous. I'd like to be a part of it. It's not really my scene, but I think it would be, you know, part of high society just for a night. Just give me a taste.
I know somebody who went to the Oscars. They weren't at the tables.
Oh.
They're off
okay.
like in the nosebleed section, but everybody has to dress really nice. And they just sit in like the bleachers and that's it.
That sounds a little boring.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I'm like, you know what? Unless you're at the table drinking the wine and eating the finger foods, is it really worth being there?
Yeah, that's true. Especially wearing like really nice clothes is probably a little bit uncomfortable. Like, yeah, I'm better in sweats from the couch.
Right. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.